KAXE. KE8RUH, NAPBF.
KE8RUH, Dakota.
Morning, you almost to the office?
Not quite, I got another 15 minutes or so.
Oh, okay, I just jumped in the truck. Got my Red Bull and now I'm mobile.
Cool. Did you get any hunting done this weekend?
Unfortunately not. I played with my new antenna, did a bunch of radio, did a bunch of simplex stuff, which was fun, and then that's about it, man. I've got 2 weekends left, and then I'm back to normal weekends with my wife and can do things.
Cool. What new antenna? Did you get that, Yagi working?
No, so that Yagi is the biggest pile of garbage in the world. It was already falling apart. You couldn't tighten the screws enough to get it to keep it grooving. And then I put it on my meter on the ground. So it went to a tripod. And it was like 2.5 SWR. And I emailed the manufacturer. And they're like, oh, it's narrow banded. Like, narrow banded is not that bad. Sending it back, pile of garbage. But I was testing my mini screwdriver antenna that I got that works okay. It's going to take me a while to figure out its nuances, but the answer that I think I'll really be sort of compromised.
That's right. You were talking about that antenna last week or the week before. Is that thing in your attic or in your yard? Where's that thing set up?
I had it set up on a tripod, so I bought a tripod mount specifically for that antenna so I could deploy it anywhere.
That's cool. I'll be interested to see how that thing works for you. If it's easy, plug and play, or if it's a bunch of setup every time you use it.
I think it's going to be a bunch of setup every time I use it, but then once I learn it, it'll be quick. You have to adjust the coil to the frequency, and you've got to set the radios out and kind of adjust the whip. It's not a big deal now that I know how to do it, but it took me probably 20 minutes the first time to set it up. But I was making contact with it with the 857 in my driveway, so all in all, I'll consider it a success.
Very cool. Is it easier to use than deploying a wire antenna?
As far as getting it up in the air, yeah, but as far as time saving, no. I think I could probably put my soda beans down with a little fishing rod holder and a wire in about the same amount of time or faster than deploying that thing. The difference with this is I don't need any additional supports or anything. I just put a tripod down and it's up on the air.
Well, that's cool. Like you said, once you get used to it, you'll be able to deploy it really quick.
That's the plan, and I didn't do any radio tuning or anything, so I'll keep tweaking it and get better. I'll be able to get it down to like a 1.4 without a tuner, so I can't complain. On another note, am I sounding any better than I usually do when I'm not in my truck?
Right now, you're coming in a little bit better, but probably one or two transmissions ago, there's a ton of static in there.
All right, I'm on the receive, so it must have just been that area I was in. I'm downtown Elmont right now, but I'm rocking, I got my 257 handbag with that signal stick bag mount I got from you, and a signal stick on the roof, trying it out. I think I'm going to start using this for the days I have this truck, which I don't know if it's going to be a convenience or not, or at least by stomach buying another amp just for this. That's why I ordered a new bag mount.
That's cool. So you're using the when you get into a good mag mount antenna, which I think is what you just said you ordered, you'll probably be able to get it real strong. Because how many watts is that 857 on UHF?
I just ordered a new one. I have a Comet, but it's pretty worn out, and I don't want to scratch the crap out of a brand new truck, so I ordered a new Diamond that's got a little bit more rubber coating on. And Comet SUV-1, we actually have in this bag with me right now because it clips right to the top of this Armalock cage. I plan on using that. That's only like a little 16-inch antenna, but it's rigid, so it's not going to flop around. I think that's part of my problem is I'm using these big speed antennas doing 50 miles, 60 miles an hour, and they're moving all over the place.
Totally. You know what? Those are great in a pinch when you just need to throw one on and all you have is an HT. But I've definitely noticed as it waves around, you get variable signal. And, like I said, they're great in a pinch, but anything sustainable that you want to leave on the truck or you're going to use regularly, you need a rigid antenna.
And that is my thoughts exactly. So I was like, you know what, I ordered a new base station antenna. And I was like, while I'm on here getting free shipping, I might as well order a new bag mount. So this is antenna week. I got to figure out a more convenient way to charge the battery. I got a Dakota Lithium 7 amp hour in here. I have to take it out of the bag because it's not like a Bioino that's got the DC plug on it. I'm sure I could rig one up, but I have to take it out of the bag. I got to take the leaves off of it. The charger's algae implant, which is not a huge deal. I guess we'll have to see how long it lasts. It's only once a week, oh well, but I don't think 7 amp hour is going to take me very far if I'm doing 30 minutes of talking every day on it.
Yeah, for sure. Turn that charger alligator clips into Anderson Power Poles and put Anderson Power Pole leads on it and have it so it'll just snake out of the bag and you can just plug it in.
I don't know why I didn't think of that. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut those stupid clips off and put power poles on it, and all I got to do is plug it in. So that's what's in there right now. I've got S connectors to the battery terminals, and then I terminated those to power poles, and then the radio power supply is power poles, which that reminds me, I got to get a shorter one. This one's way too long. It's all bundled up in there, but I don't want to cut it. And all I'd have to do is open the bag and plug it into the charger. Done. Perfect.
Yeah, it'll save you a bunch of trouble, and then realistically, you'll be able to charge it off any lithium phosphate battery charger. So you can get one of those NOCOs or whatever it might be and charge that battery.
Do you have a 12-volt charger recommendation? I keep buying the garbage that comes, like the Dakota Lithium, it basically came with a free charger. And you can tell it's just the most cheaply made thing ever. And then I got a Bioino 4.5 amp hour for my 705, and I bought the charger with that, which was $20, which was a waste of money, so that's a piece of crap. I need to just invest in a proper 12-volt charger that I can have parameters to set on it.
I just sent you what I use. I use a NOCO Genius 2. I actually just bought a second one on Friday. I really thought about going up to the 5, which the number just indicates how many amps it is. But it was like another $30 to $40, so I decided not to. But the Genius 2s, I charge all my batteries with it. It'll charge the lithium. It'll charge a regular battery. You know, so if you need to charge like your truck battery or something like that, it'll do all of them. So I think I've been real happy with the one that I had, and I bought that with the first lithium iron phosphate battery that I got, and I've had no trouble with it.
And those are only what, $40, $50?
Yep, they're and I think like the 5 is like 70 or 80 or something like that. I didn't need it to charge any faster than it already does, so just bought another two.
I agree. I don't think I need more than 2 amps. That's all I got right now. And if I ever get a bigger battery, maybe. But I'm charging a 7-amp and a 4.5-amp. It takes, you know, what, an hour? I guess we'll see, though, because I've never ran this one down. But, yeah, I'm going to order one of those today, then, because I was thinking about that this morning when I was unclipping it. I'm like, what a piece of crap. It's a fire hazard, if anything.
Yeah, you know, the one thing is they'll get you on all the different connectors, because they have, it's actually a really good system that they have, but you end up having to buy different connection points. And actually, the one that I have, I think I have one that's direct to Henderson Power Poles, and then I made one that has the connector to the BioNO connector, the little barrel connector. So, you know, it works. They work really well. You just got to figure out what connection points you want and make sure that you have them.
I was going to say, I've got DC barrels and I've got power poles, and those are the only things I need. I don't even really need the DC barrel. So as long as I can cut something up to put power poles on it, I'm good.
And you will be able to do that. It's definitely easy if you want to cut it up and put power poles on it.
Sweet. I'm going to order one of those today, and I might even try ordering, I keep seeing those cheap eco-worthy batteries on YouTube. Guys are saying they work totally fine. Kind of want to try one for myself. They're dirt cheap. They're like a third of the price of BioNO.
Really? That's interesting. You have to let me know what you think. Where do they sell them, on Amazon?
Yeah, they're on Amazon. They're usually Prime or same day. And I want to say that a 10-amp was like $50 or something. Like, they're cheap.
Wow, that is pretty cheap. Hey, just so you know, you're coming in really good now. The last, I don't know how many transmissions were really clean. So, I'm not sure where you are, but take that into consideration.
All right, cool. Yeah, it's really just when I'm in town. If I'm north of town, it's always bad, even on my truck. It's just where I am. Even on my roof in town, I get a little bit of snow. Just kind of a dead area, unfortunately. But as soon as I get south, everything cleans up nice, and I'm good till I get to the office. But this 857 deal in the passenger seat right now sparked a whole new bug of mine where I really want to put together a UHF-VHF kit now.
Yep, it's pretty nice. I got that one that I run that's just 20 watts, and it's a game changer to have that antenna on the roof and have 20 watts as opposed to 5.
I think it's a slick setup. I mean, you can throw the mag mount and the antenna in the same bag as the radio and the battery, and all you need is that, and you can set up shop at anything. So I think what I'm going to do, I was thinking about this last night, the ID5200 is on pre-order. I don't know when that's coming out, but I'm going to put that in my truck, and then I'll take that Yaesu FTM150 and make a bag out of that.
There you go. That'll be pretty slick.
Be real slick. My wife would just let me put a radio in this truck, but I get it. She doesn't play radio.
I will have to find the company that I bought the baseboard for my kit and get it over to you so you can see if they have anything that's made in the size that you need, because it's pretty slick unless you're going to buy something that Armalock makes a kit for. But those kits get pretty expensive pretty quickly.
Yeah, for the 150, I don't know that I could just... The Armalock kit would cost more than the radio. I don't know that I could swing that. maybe some decent rails, but even, I guess, by the time you buy quality rails that aren't 3D printed, you're spending $150, $200. I did the Armalox on the A57 because I knew that the radio was going to live in a bag. That's the whole reason I wanted it. And they don't make them anymore, and the radio's in mint condition, so I'm like, I'm going to make the investment to protect this thing. But the 150, they're throwaways. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. But, yeah, send me that board. I'm intrigued by that. Because really the only thing that really gets me going about the Armalox is the relocation stuff, which I can do with pretty much anything, I mean, for a couple bucks. All the ports on the back are now on the top.
Yeah, I'll find that and send it over when I can. But if you bought what I got, you could 3D print stuff to relocate it if you decided to.
Yep, 3D printing is always an option because I used to do that quite a bit. Did you have a bag laying around, or did you source one specifically for that radio? Because that's been my biggest struggle with the 857 and the Armalox is finding a proper bag that's not $200.
Yeah, that is the big problem. So that bag that I have is just a Amazon bag that I found that fit generally the size that I was looking for. It's nothing special.
Is it a CL pack by any chance?
I don't know what it is. It was a $20 special that I found that was not a, it was a, had a shoulder strap, but not a crossbody sling bag, because I did not want a crossbody sling bag for it.
I'm with you. I do not want a crossbody, and those seem to be the only ones that are in the sizing that I need. There's one other brand I found on Amazon that I might give a shot, and I'm just not buying the, what is it, something gear. They're like $200. And the thing I don't like about those is they're just a radio pouch. Like, you can't fit anything else in with it.
Yeah, definitely. Those ones that are designed for radios get real expensive real fast. And I don't even know that they're that high quality, but I think everybody makes them acting as if they're going to be in the field every day with them.
Well, you can thank the tech prepper for that. Mine's an Everly stock Bandit bag right now. It's serving its purpose. It actually works really well. Worst case scenario, I'll buy another one of those because I know the bag. And it's got a bunch of attachment points and pockets and pouches and zippers and stuff to stash stuff. So this has been my POTA bag for the last 2 years. I'm sure they make a smaller one, even if I just want to put a UHF, VHF in it. So I just keep my eyes out. I peruse Amazon every now and again. But, yeah, you think it would be way easier than it is to find a stupid bag for a radio.
Yeah, I've went as far as thinking that I need to start sewing to make my own because it's absolutely ridiculous how hard it is to source a bag for anything that is.
Yeah, without modifying bags, you're not really going to get a turnkey. I went as far as putting it in the ChatGPT saying I have an item that are these dimensions and I need to put it in a bag that has a little bit of room and I can zip it up and yada, yada, yada in it. It gives me all these results and they're all bladder bags, but then you go look at them and they're like for hiking. And they're not conducive to what I'm trying to accomplish.
Sorry, Dakota, I lost you on that one, which was my fault. I was switching over to my phone and then accidentally ended the connection. I heard you say something, you put something in the ChatGPT.
No, you're good. I put the dimensions of the Armalox into ChatGPT. Excuse me. I'm like, I need a bag that's going to fit this. And the results are always, like, hydration packs that are literally just that, like a hydration pack for hiking, and that's not what I need.
Totally. You know, and I know you're running a backpack right now, and it probably works great, but for all the things that I was hoping to have mine be, I didn't want a backpack. I didn't want a sling bag. I wanted a... streamlined bag with maybe a pocket or two, and it can be small. So worst case, it goes into another bag, and there's nothing out there. It's crazy.
No, I know. It's not a trend yet, but I'm sure it will be at some point as POTA continues to grow. But then you got guys that bring, you know, a rolling pelican to POTA. So there's two schools of thought. But I'm sure when I do the man bag for the FTM-150, it will be a lot easier because it's so much smaller. I can pretty much grab anything I want for that.
Totally. And I understand the concept and why you would want a pelican case for that gear, and you could keep it all together. And some of you guys are probably running them all day, so you need a larger battery and you can keep it all contained. But at the same time, it'd be nice to just have it small, compact, quick, and dirty, and then you bring a second battery if you need it.
Coming out of that crater, hold on. Should be good now. So, I'm with you on that. I think I would rather have I'd have my POTA kit, like my bag, my small battery, my wire antenna, my mast, or whatever the hell I plan on doing. And then if I'm gonna be out there all day, or I'm doing a multi-part day, I would probably build a battery box that I took with me to put the radio into instead of carrying that all the time. But I don't know. Different strokes for different folks. I mean, if I was operating like a 710 in the field or a 7300, yeah, I'd probably want a pelican because you're not going to throw that in the bag comfortably. But I don't want to use that in the field. It's too big.
You know, and other people are at different points in their lives. You know, if you're a retired guy, you have all the time in the world. You bring all the gear out. You set it up and you get going. Where if you're like you and I, you have very finite time and you want to keep it in the car. So if you drive past a park and have the opportunity, you could operate. It's more of small opportunities to do things for an hour or two than it is to have a complete day to do something.
Right, and the awe factor for me ever since I got into the portable operations was do as much as I can with as little and as small of gear as I can and as quick as I can. So there's nothing wrong with either. It's just all how you want to operate. I'm like, I don't do FPA, right, because then I got to bring a laptop or a tablet to the field. It's just not my cup of tea, but then there's guys that's all they want to do, which there's nothing wrong with it. I just want to, I want to be like Joe Schmo walking around with a backpack and all of a sudden I can get on the air.
Absolutely. That's the goal, right? That's pretty cool. And if we ever meet up again, you will have a tablet that you can run it if you wanted to. So keep that in mind that there is opportunity for stuff like that. But I know what you mean. I wouldn't want to have to carry that extra weight around. Also, worry about having software updated all the time and all that nonsense. Sometimes you just want to turn the radio on and try to operate it.
I know. I got to hook up with you. I got to hook up with ADOD and get a tuner from them. It's just you guys are on the other side of the world for me. It's tough, but yeah. And I work with computers for a living. So the last thing I want to do is my hobby is go out and fiddle with software that's finicky as it is when I'm just trying to activate a park or screw around with a radio. Granted, I sit on a computer when I'm not at work, but that's for, games and researching radio stuff, not necessarily dragging it out to the field.
Cat videos.
And don't forget the cat videos. You're right, Sean. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Got a late start. Anyhow, I don't know if anybody noticed or not, but the GMRS machines have been down. They're going to be zero tolerance down. I just turned Detroit back on, but I don't want to talk about it. Just FYI.
That was the word on the street last night. There's my confirmation.
I would have to monitor those to know that they were down, but that's too bad that I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that people can't behave, and that's too bad because it's quite the resource that people are going to miss out on.
Yeah, it's been a bug in my craw. It's not even being used the way it's intended. It's not ham radio. It's not CB. It's for families to conduct their business. Or even, you know, small business, you know, but mostly it's for families to conduct their business. And, you know, like if you all go on a trip, you can all use GMRS to talk car to car and use the repeaters to talk when you're good, where you're going, even set up a repeater at your property up north. You know, that's the way it was intended to be used, but it's turned into like CB/ham radio 2.0. And it's like, that's not the intent, but that's not actionable. You know, that's not something, you know, that's the way people want to use it. That's a personal thing, you know, but when it actually, you know, gets, you know, where I draw the line is, how many, you're a parent, both of you, and Dakota's are a little young, so he probably hasn't done this yet, but how many parents have bought a blister pack of two FRS radios for their kids at some point? We all have. And there's grown men out here cussing and swearing and doxing and you know, and fighting and all this stuff. And it's like, this is, you know, my God, throw up these little kids with radios here. My kids have Bluey FRS radios that don't even have a frequency on them, and I had to scan to figure out what they were so I could talk to them online. And to touch on that, so I got a buddy that lives in Armada, and his kids have FRS radios, and they can pick up Macomb 675 clear as day. And he sent me a video of it. This was a while back. Professor Don was still with us, but, you know, they're not the only ones that have radios that can pick up a repeater with a bunch of guys being a bunch of knobs on it. So I agree. I'm with you.
Boy, I didn't realize it had gotten that bad. That is unfortunate, but to your point, it quickly became CB, so it's just unfortunate. Hopefully some control can be gained and at some point it can be utilized again, but man, that is really unfortunate.
I don't know, we'll see, and I'm hearing rumors that even Troy shut down. You know, because they probably all, like cockroaches, moved over there and then brought it with them, and they shut Troy down. So, you know, these are all public safety people that run these machines, just so happens, right? And, outside of me, they're all scratching their head, confused, going, what is this? And there ain't, you know, nobody that interested in keeping it running if that's the way it's going to be. But now we'll see. I had them off and I just turned it back on. I only have it on for a little while here while I can keep my ear on it. But I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, the problem is a lot of people are just, they're not even licensed. They come from, you know, outside and they're looking, you know, they've targeted somebody and, you know, and it's unfortunate because, you know, they were using, you know, using it very properly and incorrectly, but there's these people coming out and they were messing with them, you know, most every morning. And it just went next level with Nuclear Saturday. All right, anyhow, I really said I wasn't going to talk about it here. I really don't want to. It has nothing to do with this service.
This is the best service.
Anywho, I was getting ready, and I had this on, so I heard you guys talking a little, and I think the one thing that, because I really wasn't listening, but the one thing I did hear is that this, that you said, you've got the 857 sitting here, and I'm thinking about VHF and UHF or something. I missed the gist of that.
So, the long and short of it, I met up with Phil this weekend. I sold him my POC radios because those were a waste of money I never did anything with. And he was like, what are you running in the morning when you're not in your truck? And I told him, he goes, yeah, you sound pretty rough. I'm like, damn it, like, I hate that. I don't want to be that guy. I take pride in my stuff sounding good and working well, so today I brought the 857 man bag, and I've got a single stick mag mount with a single stick on the roof, and that's what I'm talking on. It seems like it's been way better. So I was like, man, this has my brain going. When the ID5200 comes out, I'm going to get that, put that in my truck, and then I'll take the FTM150 out, and I'll put that in the bag instead of dragging around an HF radio just to talk UHF on my commutes in this truck, because I don't think I'm going to win the battle putting a mobile in here permanently. So then I got the wheels turning. We started talking about, you know, UHF, VHF portable man bags, which Anthony has one or two, I think, made. So, you know, all the radio things.
Hey, guys, I'm going to cut out here. I'm at the office. I'm sitting at the computer, so I'm going to keep listening, but going to start working. This is KE8RUH. Everybody have a good morning.
All right, Anthony. Like I said, I was late to the party today, so didn't get to talk much, but have fun. Sounding good, though, on the app. Yeah, Dakota, that's okay, I got you. I got a comment on that or so, but I'll let you finish up with Anthony.
Have a good day, Anthony. I'll catch you later, man. Probably in the morning. Now that I know that you're commuting at that time, I'll call you. Go ahead, Sean.
Oh, has Anthony got a shift in his schedule now?
No, Dakota just called out a little bit earlier than he did, usually does, and I had the radio on.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was Anthony savings time.
Not quite.
And I'm sure you prefer the earlier start and the more important part, the earlier get out.
Absolutely, I do. So, yeah, this is the schedule I like, that's for sure.
All righty then. So what puzzles me is, okay, so you got the 857 with you today. What do you normally run that was giving you less satisfactory performance? Because I thought you had that 150 installed permanent. I can't imagine that's not better, because that'll get up to, you know what, 50 watts?
I don't know if I told you or not. So we got rid of my wife's Acadia, and we got another Silverado. So she won't let me put anything permanent in that one, because I only drive it during the week a couple days to commute to save miles on my truck. My truck's money. I love that thing. It sounds great. It's a nicer truck. It's a win-win, but it's got too many miles on it, so I'm parking it. And I've been driving hers, and recently I've been running the THG75HT, a speaker mic, and a mag mount. And it works once I get down to Romeo, a little just north of Romeo, like Boardman, really. North of town, it sounds like crap, and then there's a bunch of dead spots along the way. So that's what I was referring to. I just texted you a picture of it. So that's why today I was like, you know what, I'm going to take the 857. I can at least put out 15 to 20 watts on UHF instead of the 5, and then hopefully that sounds better. So I have a new mag mount coming so I can run a proper mobile antenna with it. And I think that's the big thing, too, is I'm running HD whip that's bouncing around instead of a rigid mobile antenna. So I'm going to try a couple different things, see if I can dial it in, but that's what started the whole conversation of a portable mobile radio.
I got you. Yep. And then if you get the 5200 for your truck, you can move maybe the 150 to that one if you can get away with it. But the other thing to consider is if she's really adamant about no radio in that vehicle, then you could probably get an all-on-the-mic radio, you know, and then just throw the microphone, you know, just have the microphone come out of the center console or under the seat. And that way when you're, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And, I you can always do a mag mount, but there are other things you can do. There's mounts that go up around the the truck bed light on the back of the cab. There's some mounts that have been fabricated that have an NMO that go there, no holes. You could do a steak pocket, a breed love steak pocket or something. You could, you know, there's a little angle bracket that goes between the hood and the fender. It comes out from behind there and puts an anemoma out there. So there's a lot of ways you can get an antenna on there and, you know, put something in permanent that she doesn't have to look at. As long as you remove the whip, no harm, no foul. That's why I say, you know, an NMO top dead center of the roof's the best, because you unscrew that thing and throw it behind the seat, nobody's wiser you got a radio in the truck.
I know, I kept telling her, I'm like, I'll do it way more discreetly than I did my truck, but she's not having it. And I'll respect that, it's her truck, whatever, and I'm fine with it. It's a whole separate set of, quote, portable challenges, which I love. So it's not a big deal. It's an excuse to get some different gear and play with new things and, you know, use this 857, which this is why I bought it. I wanted a bag that did everything, and here we are, case in point.
Well, that's the other thing, is this gives you an excuse to use 857, legit. So pretty cool. That is a cool radio. You know, it's pretty nifty. Guy had two of everything, and that must have been the one that he used, because the other one was brand new in the box, never removed from the box. Brian got that BPB, and they are certainly nice radios.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. It's a nice compliment to my 705. They both kind of do the same thing, but QRO versus QRB, and in my opinion, this is a bit more portable and rugged than the 705, but, man, I went through this thing, I cleaned it up, excuse me, with a Q-tip and wiped it down. I could not find a scratch, a blemish, anything, so, I was telling Anthony this morning, that's why I bought the Armalock cage for it, because the radio's worth protecting. It's mint, and I'm going to keep it that way. And, he upgraded the microphone on this, so they usually just come with the microphone that's on the 891. He bought the one that's like a full keypad.
Oh, okay, cool. That's handy as hell, especially for the FM work.
Yeah, so all said and done, super happy with it. Love the radio, appreciate the deal. And I'm going to be running this for a bit here until that 5200 comes out and I make another portable bag. In other news, I don't know if you've got your vertical set up at your house, but Greg and I were simplexing D-Star yesterday. And it sounded like we were talking on a hotspot, so I would be curious to try that with you a little bit further south than he is. We're 26 miles as the crow flies, so I'd be curious if you and I would be able to work each other or not.
Yeah, it would take me some finagling to get that radio back. It's my 9700. It would take me some work to get that back on. My antenna came down, the one for that I was using for VHF, UHF on the 9700. And I'm too apathetic about everything to bother. I still have plans, you know, to do stuff, but that's my problem. I have plans, and then cat videos come up, and next thing you know, I'm down for 2 years, going on 2 years now. I've been off VHF, UHF, all mode. I got that beautiful 9700 sitting there. Haven't had it fired up for a couple of years. I got to get out there. I've got a replacement antenna for the one. I just got to run the push-up mast back up, and then I got to get a new hunk of coax. That's all. So there's no excuse for me to be down. Hell, my HF antenna. All I got to do is trim it, and I've been looking at that for going on over a year now. And, I don't know how long ago was it that Damien made me those spreaders for my band dipole. It's been forever, and apathy's a bitch, man.
Yeah, but I don't blame you, because it's what you do for a living. When I get home, if my wife needs me to fix her computer, or I got to fix my own crap, or my mom needs help, or my grandma, I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to touch it, because that's what I did all day long. So I can sympathize with you there. You know, if you're not missing it, who cares? Why get it done? But keep your eyes peeled for one of those push-up masks too for me, would you? A local one, because I'm gonna do something at the house here. I just ordered a V2000 antenna last night, so I'll have a tri-bander that I want to get up as high as I can. But, yeah, I mean, I sympathize with you. I don't want to do stuff that I do all day when I get home either.
Yeah, I don't know if that's it or just flat-out lazy. But, and I really got, I noticed how brisk it's getting in that, so I really have to do this before the weather gets real foul. But then the best antenna work is done when the weather's foul. Yeah, I'll keep an eye for those masts. You know, the 40-footer is the nice one, but it's not shippable. You got to go freight. And they've got another one, which I think comes in a little short. It's like 37 feet, but that one will collapse down into a shippable length. And I think that one's got a different designator, but they're made by Roan, which is a legendary company in towers, and they're Roan push-up masts, and they're great. I love them. I got two of them up right now.
Yeah, it doesn't even necessarily have to be a 40-footer. I think if I got that antenna up 30 feet, I'd be able to do whatever I wanted to do.
Oh, I agree. I mean, 40 is a target that I've always had in the back of my mind, but all right, let me order my coffee. You're right back.
At ADBS, standing by.
All right. A tall coffee. Nothing special today.
Monday morning, black and hot.
Oh, I'm looking at the picture now as I'm sitting here in the coffee line. That's pretty sweet, really.
If I could just find a bag that fit better, it would be the best setup ever. I got a 7-amp hour in there. I've got a mobile whip antenna in there that I can clip right to the BNC that's on the face of the radio if I needed to. And it's not done yet. I'm going to keep refining it, but this is exactly what I wanted this radio for.
All right. Chat with the gal at the window for a minute. I think they're ordered to chat people up, so I don't want to be rude while they're doing their job.
What kind of coffee did you get?
Just a tall Pikes, just a tall cup of their house blend.
I need to start making coffee at home again. I miss, now that it's colder out, I don't like warm coffee in the summer. I don't know why. I mean, I guess I do know why it's hot. But I need to start making coffee at home. I miss the taste.
Yeah, I should do that. At home, I drink Keurig almost exclusively. The way we drink is so weird that, you know, pots tend to go bad. They don't like warming a pot up after it's gone cold, but we either have to keep it hot where it gets burnt, you know, keep it on a hot plate, or it goes cold and you end up nuking it, and it's like, ugh. So we're just not good for a pot. But what's weird is we're drinking it all day. So, you know, my wife just walks over there and uses, you know, we both love this one particular Keurig, Green Mountain. And so it's easy. You know, I just keep stocked up on that. And whenever I get a feeling for a coffee or she does, we just walk over and make one fresh. And I've gotten quite accustomed to that coffee. I'm not saying it's great, it's Keurig, but you know what? It's what I'm used to. And then when I'm on the road, there's not much I like. I do like Starbucks Pike's Place, they call it. And so I will get that. You know, in a cup of that's like $2.65. So it's hardly any more than Tim Hortons. You know, everybody always says Starbucks expensive. Well, yeah, if you get a triple upside down lemon twisted, you know, blah blah. I can't even think of the, you know, all the ridiculous words you'd have to use to order one of them foo foo drinks. But if you do that, sure.
Vente, two pumps, three squirts, soy latte, vanilla, mocha, chino, yeah, I hear you. everything's expensive now, man. This, you can't go anywhere without spending $3-4 on a drink. It's ridiculous. Even you go friggin' fast food, it's like $4 for a pop. But we're curing people at home too. It's not my first choice. It's not my favorite, but it's you know, like you said, it's convenient. Put a pot in or a cup in and make your cup and you're done. But I have a Breville grind control, and that's my absolute favorite. I would buy the beans I wanted, and I grind them fresh, and I could control the potency and how strong it was and how dark it was. But it sounds like a chainsaw firing up in the morning, and the kids are sleeping, so I can't use that unless it's later on the weekends. And then, you know, I bought a Ninja blender. I can't make smoothies in the morning for the same reason, so until these little punks are older and getting up with me to go to school, I'm not making anything. But Keurigs fill the void. They get the job done. They're just not the best coffee.
Yeah, and like I said, we've gotten to the point where we actually prefer our Keurigs. So it's if you find one you really like, you know, that can happen. And look at this. What the hell? These guys are still parking all over in our spots. Son of a bitch. I gotta make a phone call and get these guys quit parking in our spots. All right. I just pulled up to work. I'm going to get inside and start my day. So after yours, W8FU.
All right. Yeah, I've been back in here procrastinating. But maybe those guys are blind and need to figure it out. Good luck. I'll catch you later. N8BBF.
Hey, BLN.
WD8KLO. Good morning, Jack. WD8KLO. How are you doing today?
Good.
Okay, you're not quite making the repeater there, Jack. You must be mobile. Okay, Jack, we'll catch up with you later there. You must be mobile. WD8KLO will be clear.
How about now? Is now any better?
Okay, yeah, that time I heard you. Before, you were cutting in and out.
Yeah, the water repeater is the best for me, I guess.
So I got on the GM a little bit late, but I see you and Brian both put your garbage out the night before.
Yeah, that's what I said. But I don't know. You know, one day they come in the morning, the other day they come next week, they come at like about 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. I don't know when, so I might as well get it out in the morning. I mean, at night.
Yeah, I've been putting mine out at night lately. But a few years ago, we had this pesky dog. I don't care if I put anything out there, he'd dig through the garbage and lay it, you know, put all the stuff all over the yard and stuff. So we were putting it out the morning of. But the dog's gone, and it doesn't seem like the raccoons are around as much anymore.
Oh, yeah. When you got big fields like that, they'll be gone somewhere else anyhow.
Yeah, I put a trail camera up out back and got some pretty good pictures of some bucks and some coyotes. I had a coyote come through there last night.
I don't know if you had a coyote by you. I didn't know that. Anyhow, sounds like an ugly day out there, is it?
You got that right. It's kind of gloomy. It's supposed to clear off, though, this afternoon. I don't know about sunshine or anything else, but it's supposed to be windy. Probably knock all your leaves off today, Jack.
What'd they call that? Knock off? I don't know. I just said the wind blows knock your leaves off the tree. I'm just joking. They call that knockoff. I got you. You're a knockoff, Jack. WDAKLO. Yeah, I got to do some running around this morning. I got to go get grocery shopping early morning. I just ran out of a cream, and I'm on my first coffee. But yeah, that's why I got to run around with us later. Roger.
Yeah, I do too. I gotta make a couple stops today, so maybe we'll catch you out on the mobile later. All right, Jack, we'll chat with you later. KFA DRC, WDAKLO will be clear after yours.
All right, Greg, good talking to you. Take care. WDAKLO from KFA, Detroit, Rock City.
KEA-NOR.
Well, good morning, Nora.
Good morning, Jack. I was just walking out there, and I had a minute, so I thought I would say good morning. It was a fine fall day.
Roger, you must be breaking up. Maybe you're on a handheld or your mobile. It's breaking up a little bit. How are you doing today?
I'm breaking up, so that's not so good. I'm always on a mobile. I'm always on a handheld. Anyway, I'm doing good. If you don't hear me, we'll talk later.
I know, it's good to hear you out there. We'll talk later, because you're a bit, on the mobile, it'd be a different anyhow. We'll talk to you later. Good talking to you anyhow. And good to hear you out there, really. Honestly. Okay, great. I see.
KFA, DRC, 733, talk at you later, KU8NOR.
Is that Tom out there? Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Jack. How are you this morning?
All very good. How about you?
Oh, it's just starting the work day. I'm going to go to the office, pick up a couple parts, and I'm heading out to Ann Arbor. Do a quick job out there, and then over to Southfield for the day.
That's a very long drive. Ann Arbor, then back to Southfield. That's going to be a little bit long drive. Anyhow, the day, I don't know, the day started it like this. I hope it's not going to end up like that.
I'm just glad I don't have to work out in the rain. I don't mind the drive. It's the weather that I hate that I don't agree with sometimes.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Are you by Phil Repeater?
No, I'm up in Auburn Hills right now, and I'm jumping off of the one in Detroit, TK's.
Oh, I'm bouncing off a water repeater, which is good. Water repeater is the best, I think, out there.
Well, I do pretty good on a better majority of them. Probably also sometimes gives me a little bit of issues, but the one in Detroit, since it's downtown, it gives me a little bit more coverage. I mean, I can hit Warren from here also. And Mount Clemens is a little staticky, I think, just because of the where it's at. But the Detroit one, I usually give it a run for its money. This one will reach me all the way out to Ann Arbor.
I see what you're saying. Because you got a little bit of crackling, that's what I'm saying. Anyhow, no biggie, just a little bit like your hair, a couple of these cracklings going on. All right, Tom. Drive safe. Take care. I gotta have my coffee, second coffee. And I gotta go get me some green coffee. We'll talk later. K
KFA, DIC.
73, Jack. I already got my full coffee for the day. Right here, 93. Easy, Eagle. Monitoring as usual.
This is K8KCI. Looking for anybody on the channel. You're sounding great. We're just picking up the BERT repeater, and you guys are sounding good up here. Just wanted to give you a little heads up, but sound like you're right next door.
And what's your repeater again?
We're on the BERT repeater. By Saginaw.
Gotcha. That's where that one was at. That must be K200, I think. Hey, you sound great. Nice and clear. 5-9. Full quieting. You're good to go. KCKDO.
Hey, we appreciate that. We're just on a mobile with the OHD, so we're just, you guys always come to up here pretty good, and, I know you guys are all from around the metropolitan Detroit area and above, so just thought we'd just give you a shout out there. You're still strong up here. KCI will be clear and set on spike.
W8FU.
I heard Phil trying to get a hold of you on P25 earlier. K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-
Yeah, I've been away from my desk. I've got it on. I got it by my desk, but I've been away from my desk all morning, and now I'm on the road, and I've got different things dialed up in the car. I've got my handheld, which normally handles that duty, is we're doing a work job right now. So anyhow, I digress. I haven't been listening.
God, you sound like a person with a real job.
Hey, when you're busy, you're busy. I mean, how often do you hear me on the radio, but, you know, during the week sometimes. You know, on DMR or something like that. Because I'm driving somewhere with a coworker and we're discussing things.
You're discussing things? Now, come on, I didn't say that.
Well, who knows what he does in his own time. Anyways, I wanted to ask you a question. I'm narrowing down my issue with the IAX, but now I've got it so as long as I'm on the local network, it works. But as soon as I connect, it's keying the transmitter without even pushing the push-talk button. Any idea why that would happen?
Are you talking about in the IAX app, whatever you're using? Are you talking about the node? As soon as you make a connection to it via IAX, the node transmits, or is it the app as a push to talk?
No, the node itself goes into transmit mode. The app, and there's no audio, but if I push the push to talk button on the app, then the audio goes through.
Oh my God, I think I know the answer to this. I just can't remember. I thought I saw that before, but it's been a long time. Oh man. This is something stupid as well. It's probably something in the extensions config. I'm just at a loss.
Okay, yeah, I figured it's probably just something. Thought it might be the duplex setting in the RPG, but it doesn't seem to make it work any differently. So, I don't know. If you think of it, let me know. I'll keep plugging away.
Yeah, I seem to kind of sort of recall that being a thing. I just can't remember what. It's been several years since I did monkeying with one at that level. So did you scour the archives or the forums?
Not yet. That's my next step.
Okie dokie. All right, I got to jump out here at my next stop. I got a couple stops here. And then looking at the time, I probably got a half hour to kill, so I'm probably going to have to go get my lunch. All right, but I'm at my next stop. W8FU.
Okay, sounds good. Was that Tom in there? Distracted for a moment. KPR.
Yeah, that was me, but I just pulled into my destination, so I'll be out and about. I'll talk to you guys later as well. 73 to all. KCTQ.
Alright, catch you later. KPR.
Stop number one done.
Tim, A-D-H-J-L, along with Anara, K-S-A-G-C-K. We are driving home from her orthodontist appointment. Got probably about 25 minutes. Thought I'd throw a call sign out there. If anybody has any interest or experience with free DV, I'd love to hear how your experience is going. It's something that several groups have all inundated me with simultaneously. I haven't yet gotten into it, but I just wanted to hear people This is Tim, ADHAL, along with Anara, KF8DCK. Bored out of my mind, driving home. How's it going?
Going pretty well. I just left a job site. I'm heading home myself. I've got a little work to do beforehand. In fact, you know what? Now that I think of it, I got to get off here at this section. I got to make a stop at one last stop before the day's out. Although, do I? Maybe I don't. I don't know. Anyhow, beautiful day.
My daughter and I were talking about the fact that if you really put your mind to it, winter doesn't really start until late December. We have a lot of days, maybe not quite this warm, but we have a lot of days like this coming up ahead. So I'm trying to savor every one of them. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Oh, yeah. It's run around with a jacket. Cold day for there, you know, cold morning generally, you know, is okay. Yeah, we're usually good up to the holidays, and, you know, just a few. I mean, you can get a snowstorm, but, you know, it's that January, February, March, you know, where January, February in particular, and, you know, it's not bad. Get through it. Just think how much nicer all this is when you have to put up with that January, February, March.
Yeah, I hate winters. Hate them, hate them, hate them. And so, yeah, I just try to remind myself, everything's fine until, like you said, Christmas. Everything's fine until the holidays. You're going to be fine. Yes, there's going to be some bad days, but you're going to be fine. And for me, early March, the weather starts to break. You know, it's not great, but the weather starts to break. And after all that cold, a 40-degree field today feels wonderful, you know. So I just try to tell myself winter is only 2 months. And then I try to have a winter thing. For me, it's scuba diving, ice diving. So I try to have a winter thing to look forward to help me to get through it. So that's my plan. I just have to keep out loud reminding myself everything's fine. Anyway, how's your work day going? You wrap it up. Has it gone well for you?
Oh, I got an issue I'm trying to resolve at one of my centers, and I did some little bit of work on that. All I've been able to do successfully is confirm it wasn't something, but I haven't figured out what it is. So tomorrow morning we're going to pick it up again first thing, and you know, and then site I just left, that's another issue. Somebody's renovating, and I've got all the electronics. Have to be jostled about while they're renovating. Have to be moved and then, you know, temporarily set up so that they can operate from different location. And, you know, then it's got to be, then after the renovation, it's got to all be moved back. And so we just were at a meeting with the architect and a few other stakeholders in the project and trying to get things worked out. And it went pretty good. I'm on the hook for a little bit more than I'm comfortable with, but, we always figure it out.
You have just about the best job. And I'm not saying that it's an easy job. If it were an easy job, it probably wouldn't be the best job. And I'm not saying it doesn't have, you know, stress and obligations and all that kind of good stuff. But for me, a lot of that is what makes it a good job, you know. I just think you have just about the best job. I've had a similar job on the IT side. The part I don't like about the IT side is just the amount of data that you have to protect. That is just such a nightmare in the world we live in today. But that level of, yeah, it's my job to keep everything up and running and come up with these solutions when things go wrong, I just think you have just about the best job.
Well, I've been doing it for this specific employer for 35 years, and I can't say I've regretted a single day. I like what I do. I like who I do it for, and it's a good gig. I don't dislike it. You know, people say, 35 years, why don't you retire? Because I certainly could be gone. And I don't feel compelled to. I'm pretty content. And I've got some offers for some similar type work elsewhere, which could be interesting, if not lucrative. But I do like what I do, who I do it for, and all that good stuff. And I've always kind of done this. I didn't like it as much in the 80s when I was doing it for other vendors. They were, they had their share of issues. But I've always liked this line of work. So even when I was working for places that were a little less like what I'm doing now, I'll just put that. I still liked it.
Pretty ringing endorsement when you have options, including not doing anything and choose to continue to do it. That's a pretty ringing endorsement. Oh, good for you. Good for you. And I always like hearing, I love hearing the details of, what you guys got going on. There's different things you guys are planning, putting in place and stuff. It was neat. I didn't get to participate, but I got to listen in for, half an hour or so when you guys did the simulated emergency a few weeks ago. That was fun. So, yeah, there's definitely some creativity to your job. And I always love the fact that you are pretty open about what's going on and new stuff and stuff like that. That's the stuff that keeps me in this hobby, because even just chit-chatting is not exactly what I want to do. There's got to be a purpose to it, and I always love the stuff that's going on. So just throwing that out there. Thanks for you being out there and letting us know what's going on, and also continuing to push the envelope and expand the capability. It's always nice.
Well, one thing I don't enjoy is roses. So I appreciate it, but like I said, it makes me uncomfortable just doing what I do. And I do enjoy it. So, but we're having a lot of fun with it. Got a good crew. Now the guys that are actually doing the actual work, the set and stuff like that, that's a whole different crew, and they're knocking it out of the park. They're really doing well. They got a lot of really, really good characters all stepping up, and everybody seems to, have something to contribute. It's pretty impressive. I really, really enjoy that. I'm kind of, we did get together this weekend for some technical work, and I had to turn some people down. I got everybody I need, and quarters are cramped, and matter of fact, I couldn't even do what I needed to do because quarters were so cramped. So I kind of did other things. But that is a luxury that I have not seen since probably the 90s. WAW.
WAADHJ, W8FUADHJL, and KEAWFY, KFATCK in the backseat. Sorry, wrong one. Got two kids. I'll let you go. Let's get back to what you're doing. I'm about 5 minutes from home myself as it is. But, it was great to hear all the exciting stuff that's going on. Hope you get your stuff done. And it sounds like you skipped that last thing and went home. Sounds like a smart decision to me. Hope you have a good afternoon. Hope you can enjoy a little bit more of this weather. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here. I will be monitoring but clear on your final. Hope you have a good afternoon. ADHJL.
Yeah, I'm going to be the place I was thinking about detouring to. I'm going to be there first thing in the morning. And I've got one of the big hitters from Lansing is coming out. He has keys to the kingdom. So I could go there and do a couple of things preliminarily, but you know what? I'm going to be back there first thing. Might as well just do that. But I digress. All right, we'll catch you later. Nice talking to you, Tim. Take care. Say hello to the, I forget the names in the back, but tell the kidsters I said hi, and we'll catch you again. This is W8FU after yours.
I appreciate it. Yep, I've got my daughter, Anara. She's KFATCK and KFATCK ADHJL. some should have used some hot. Really good.
That's a cool name. All right, see you guys. W8FU.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like APRS is one of those things where if you have a use for it, you use it, and if you don't, you're not real sure why it exists. So it's one of those things where it's nice to have it figured out, but once you do, you may not use it very often, if ever.
Right. Just glad that it's there. It's there if we need it.
Yep, and that's the cool thing. You know, it does have a messaging feature and a tracking feature, so it's functionally, it's awesome. If you don't have a bunch of people to play with it with, it doesn't really matter. I would imagine you guys will get a little bit more into it now that it's working, and you had a hand in getting it fixed, so that'll be good.
Absolutely. I'll figure it out. Just another thing to play with, I guess. I got Winston figured out, you know. I got that to do with science. But I arrived at my next destination in Bloomfield Hills, so if you're still up there, I'll see you there. If not, I'll see you in your final.
KGO. All right, Tom. Have a great afternoon. I'll be in the car for 30 more minutes. KERUH. Talk to you soon.
Neck of the woods now.
Yeah, but I'm only at Crooks in M59, so we might cross paths, we might not. All depends.
Well, with how Hall Road moves, I wouldn't be surprised if we did cross paths on it at some point, because I don't think I'm going to get there very quickly.
Yeah, I started early, got done early.
That's a good thing. I like those days. I'm trying to keep my 7 to 4 as much as I can. Obviously, I stay late if I have to, but I don't like working 7 to 5 if I don't have to.
Well, I'm actually 10 to 6:30, but because work is kind of scarce, and I hook up with the other tech, you know, with Brad, and we just bang it all out and get it taken care of. And if I start early, it gives us time if need to, then we can head out west early.
Oh, very good. I got that 10 mile and...
I don't know if I just picked up a simplex or what.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Okay, so it was through the repeater.
Yeah, I think I just bleed over. Who knows, it didn't almost sound like DMRS or something close to the tower.
Yeah, but it would have to have the PL to transmit.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're probably like me, I got open return. That's with the PL and the TX side.
Which radio are you on right now?
I'm on my Elenco off of 175 in Detroit.
I don't know if it's your radio or if it's the repeater, but there's a whine coming in on your transmission.
Oh, I got enough air cores on everything. Hmm. Might be just engine noise. How about now?
I've never noticed it before, but I can hear it now. So yeah, keep that in mind. I don't know how to describe it. High pitched whine.
All right, maybe I got to do an inlay filter for the power. I got to come right off the battery I actually have the 200 amper that, for the inverter, and the inverter is shut down.
Well, if you changed anything, it wasn't on that last transmission, so it might have just been where you were.
No, I moved over to the Warren repeater.
All right, that narrows it down to the Detroit repeater.
Probably. I was off of the Detroit repeater, and then I'm like, well, I'll close to Warren, so I moved over to Warren. Mount Clemens, I'm there, but it's kind of scratchy, so Warren has a better coverage area sometimes.
I don't like how Mount Clemens doesn't have a carrier tone.
Yeah, I don't hear it out there either. I mean, you got your PL going in, but still it doesn't give anything on the way out, where the FBI ones do.
That's probably why it bothers me, because I'm a creature of habit and all the other ones do, and that's what I'm used to.
It all depends on how you program it, I guess. I think UMP's limit is a font chart.
That's a side of ham radio that I know absolutely nothing about, and I want to keep it that way.
And there's a lot that goes behind it, I can tell you that much.
Just in the brief discussions I've had with Sean, or listening to him talk and shop with, you know, the other guys that run the show around here. Yeah, I'm good. I'm out on that whole deal. Too much. If you need help with networking stuff, I can help. Anything else? No thanks.
Well, I did batteries yesterday, battery backup for the power on those.
Well, they run on lead acids, or are they run on a lithium ion?
SLA, they're safer.
And heavier.
Right, but lead acids, since it's lipos, you know. Those ones are, they're lighter, but still, you have it, has it in there, so it gets punctured.
Yeah, the cost difference really probably isn't worth it for something that's not moving. I looked at lithium, UPSs for our servers, and then the cost difference was like, it's really not necessary. It's heavy, I have to move it once every 5 years, I can live with it.
Right, but not only that, is lithium, if it's exposed to air or the battery gets punctured, it goes up and you can't put it out. And in certain sites you don't want that, so the safest option. And same thing with my alarm system. Everything is all SLA. So if the battery gets hot or whatever else and it cracks, it just leaks and it's easy to, you know, you can clean it up with normal soap and water and have no effect on it.
Yeah, I've blown up a couple lipos. They're pretty volatile.
Yeah, same with the lithium ions. I can do a pin and nail into it, and that thing goes up like a candle, or like a firework. Once it starts, you can't stop it until it burns itself out.
I got lipos that I have not had any experience with ruptures or anything like that, but I think they're supposed to be a little bit more stable. I don't really want to test them because they're not cheap, but yeah, that's what I've been. I'm actually on one right now. I've got a 7 amp Dakota lithium in my backpack that's on this. I'm on my Yaesu 857 right now.
You sound fantastic.
Well, thank you. Would you believe this is with a mag mount signal stick and 15 watts?
I would not believe that, but you are clear. There's a little bit of static in there, but I think it's just the wind and everything. But besides that, you're clear as a bell.
I ordered a new base station antenna, and when I was checking out, it reminded me that I need to get a proper mag mount so I can actually run. I have a 16-inch Comet mobile antenna, so I think that rigidity will help clean up my signal that last little bit, because this is going to be my auxiliary portable mobile setup here for the foreseeable future, so I want to get the proper antenna, and I think that'll make
all the difference rather than a signal stick flailing around in the wind.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I got the MR-77 up there, which I think is a Comet, and I got that tram that I use for DMR, and so far they've been good and trusty. And my coworker's got one of the ones from Amazon, you know, that's got the short UHF on one side and the VHF on the other side, but I got that from KAYNU, and so far that's been pretty successful. He's got my TYTMB9600 for GMRS programmed in only, and, you know, works pretty good.
I'm in that hole, hold on.
KE8RUH.
Anthony.
What's going on? Hey, back in the car for a few minutes. Ran home, brushed my teeth, now I'm on my way to the dentist for a cleaning.
You're too nice. I usually get a half a pack of Oreos first.
That's just cruel.
Maybe a turkey leg. I'm out of that hole. Hopefully that sounds all right.
Yeah, you're fine. Anthony, I was just discussing my normal treat before I go to the dentist.
Peanut butter crackers.
It would be funny to go with a bunch of Oreos in your teeth, though. That's for sure.
Dakota got it right, too. Peanut butter crackers, you
can
do that, too.
Dakota, sounding good on that radio. I'll be interested to see how much battery power you use after a couple days.
You know, I just glanced over. It's funny you say that. I'm at 12.9 volts, dropped down to 12 transmitting. So I have a feeling this is going to be a charge every day kind of battery. So I may order a bigger one. I'll probably get a 10 amp just so I can get through the day and not have any issues.
Oh, what happened to your MP300 and your 2x4?
That's in the other truck.
His wife won't let him mount a permanent radio in her truck, and he's been driving that.
Okay, I can see that. Same thing with my wife. You know, I don't want nothing hanging around in here, but I got her a nice little GMRS 25 water, and the only thing is it's with a power port plug on it, and yet all the power ports are not working, even though the fuse is good, so I don't know what's going on.
I can respect them not wanting radios in their vehicles. And I was telling Sean this morning, I kind of like it. It's like a new set of rules I got to play by for operating, so I'm fine with it. I'm always talking about how much I like portable operations. Well, here we go. I'm man-packing.
It certainly does add another level of complexity, but that's good, you know, keeps making you sharpen your tools up and change things up and make it work and then refine.
Yeah, I mean, where she's happy because I got her own GMRS license with her own call sign, so I have a little bit of leeway there. Because I got a kit here, you know, it's a mag mount, it's a nice little handy-dandy one. I just gotta get it in there and get it working.
Are you gonna add a fuse or are you gonna just plug it in a cigarette outlet?
Well, that's the thing, is the cigarette outlet doesn't work. The one in the by the ashtray, the one inside the center console, the one in the back by the back seats, or the one way in the back by the rear lift gate. But again, I checked the fuse, and the fuse is fine, so I don't know what's going on. But they all have inline fuses, and I blew them all.
I'm back, guys. Sorry about that.
I didn't even know you left. Tom, did you put a multimeter on that cigarette outlet?
No. I didn't. I mean, they blew out earlier in the year, so I know that the one console sooner or later. I'm not going to twist it to make it work, but probably, like I said, the only thing I could think of was an inline fuse somewhere behind H1, because I was using one of those plug-in air compressors, and it killed it. So, who knows? If anything, I'm just going to run direct to the battery.
Speaking of batteries, I think I got to put a new battery in my car. Do you guys have any radios in your car? Do you guys get upgraded batteries, or you just get the stock OEM recommendation?
I just run whatever the hell's in there. I mean, driving a truck's a little different because you got a bigger battery, but I don't think the radio, just the mobile unit, is going to draw enough power to make a difference unless you leave it on all the time.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it's my work van, so whatever battery came in it is what's in it. So I'm tied down, and it's got an inverter, so I'm tied down to the 208 inline fuse for the inverter. And I've left the radios on, come on the new radio. You know, truck's been just fine. You know, the current draw isn't that much. When they're on, it's when you transmit that you start sucking the juice down.
Okay, that's good to know. I'll be able to just buy the regular one, which will probably be far less expensive than an upgrade. These batteries for cars are expensive enough now.
Yeah, I think whatever you put in there, you'll be fine. I always just set like a 30 or 60 minute APO on my radios, and I never have to worry about it.
And this vehicle here, all this stuff, it even shuts off my inverter after like 20 minutes if I'm not out of here. And I got two phone chargers, three radios, one scanner, and an inverter. And when I come on, it shuts all the UPS ports down. It shuts down all the auxiliary power, you know, going into it. Except for the two radios that are coming right off of the battery. So, but besides that, everything else gets shut down from the power ports.
Alright, that's cool. Yeah, I have my mobile, and then I have, you know, phones, things like that, but nothing that's a big draw.
Speaking of batteries, the thing's a pig. I'm surprised it's draining the battery as much as it is. I'm only on 15 watts. I might need to get two. I might just have to have one in the bag, and then when I get home, I'll take it out, charge it, and flip-flop every day. And that's going to be, I'll get old quick. Anthony, do you still come across by when I was at work ever, or no?
No, that was a one-time thing. I think I shot you a picture of that battery. I have a couple of batteries right now. They're 40 amp hour. A little bigger, but, you know, you could leave something in the truck and have some Anderson power poles, and then have that small battery if you truly need to run mobile. That's a good option.
That's kind of exactly what I was thinking, is just stuff something under the seat.
Yeah, I don't have any, I'm driving, so I can get a picture and send it over. Actually got one to Greg the other day. He had one from me, and he just picked up another one, or two, I can't remember. But they're pretty nice batteries.
You know what else I could do, too, is I could literally just put an Atafuse in the panel and run it under the seat, and that'd be the end of it, have a power pole just sitting there.
That's what I would do. So are you running a mobile as an HT, or are you running an HT strictly Dakota?
It's a shack-in-the-box radio, so it's HF, UHF, VHF in a backpack with a 7-amp-hour Dakota lithium. And then I got a mag mount that hooks to the front of the cage that it's in. So, just BNC. So it's very, very convenient for not having a permanent installation, but it seems to be guzzling this battery. I'm at 11.9 volts on transmission. I don't know what the nominal voltage is of fully charged LiFePO.
What is it, a 7.5 hour battery or a 10.5 hour battery?
KE8RUH.
Anthony, was that you signing?
That was me signing off. I'll catch up with you later. KE8RUH.
Have fun getting your teeth clean. Make sure you pick out a nice sticker. Tom, it's 7.5 hour Dakota Lithium, and I kind of want to buy a 10-amp hour. Not that that's a crazy difference, but that should be enough to get me through one solid day, maybe two.
It's just you're running 15 watts, so you gotta check to see what your amp draw is on it. Anthony, take it easy and have fun at the dentist there. I like mine, she's cute. But yeah, I mean, all you can do is put an amp meter on it and see what your draw is when you transmit. I know this Elenco, I put a 20-amp fuse in it when I had to plug it into the cigarette lighter port, and it ran just fine until I got it hardwired. I think it only pulls maybe 7 on 50 watts.
Yeah, I'd be willing to bet this is pulling like 5. It's low power, but there's nothing to it. It's just old. And that's kind of what I'm wondering, is if it's just not efficient.
What may help is you get a deep cycle, you know, like for campers and stuff. It might hold it a little bit more.
Yeah, but those are big and heavy. I'll probably just buy another 10 amp and then have a handful in rotation. I have a 4.5 amp for my 705, but that's not going to do me any good. That'll be the ride in.
Comment?
Comment?
Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray. For the gentleman asking for the nominal full charge, it's 14.4 volts.
Yeah, so I'm not even playing in the wheelhouse then. I'm at 12.7, 12.8 when it's not transmitting.
12.8, you should be doing okay. It's when you start dropping below 11 and you start having issues. All my alarm systems, like I said, they use 7.5 hour batteries, SLAs. And once they get up on 11 volts, 10.5 volts, then things start going screwy.
See, transmitting right now, I'm at 12 volts even, so I guess it's not too bad. I mean, I'll probably get a full day before I got to worry about it, maybe two, 11.9. So I think a safe bet would be get a 10 amp hour. And I like these Dakota Lithium so far. I like the case they come in. They're a harder plastic instead of the BioNOs that are just heat shrink. The downside is they just come with F terminals, so you got to make your own connectors, your own whips to come off of it, which is not a big deal. And they're like 30-40% cheaper than a BioNO, so, and I got my name on it. That's a win.
Anything to make your day better. Hello, Dan. KCAKJO.
Hey, Tom. Full discharge on that battery is 10 volts. They don't want you dropping below that to prevent cell damage. I only popped in. I'm on the road now, but I only popped in because I know a little bit about lithium, and I heard him ask that. So I'm just sitting on the side listening. This is Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray.
Well, I appreciate the valuable insight and information that answers my question without me having to find it. And, okay, so, yeah, Tom, I think you're right. Hang out around 11 volts before you charge it. I should be fine.
Yeah, like Ken said, you go anything less than that, and you start messing, you know, then the battery starts losing its integrity. That's why, that's why our alarm systems drop. I mean, once they hit that 11-volt threshold, then things just start going goofy, and then when you try to charge the battery, sometimes it'll just heat up and take a charge. Especially if they're a couple of years old, so yeah. Keep it above 11 volts and you should be okay. I think you'll do fine on the way home. And then just charge it when you get home. And I have arrived at my destination, so I'll be back out in a bit. 73 on your final PCA KJO.
home stretch here as well, about 5 minutes out. So. Thanks for the ride, Tom. I'll catch you later. NA-DBF.
Hey, Tom, are you going to the same place I am? K-8-L-E-X.
I should come to my mother-in-law.
Nope, that wasn't it. That definitely was not it. That answers that question. K-8-L-E-X.
H-W-R-O. Go ahead, Tim. K-C-Q-2.
I'm pulling into Lakeside Circle now, Dean. Where are you at? Front or behind?
Not quite there yet. I actually just got a text message on my DMR from Cliff. I'm confused by that.
Oh, that's possible. That's one T-shirt I don't have either.
That's one feature I gotta check out on my HD, see if I could do that, and see how he did it. All right, guys, I'll be out in a bit in front of Lakeside Circle. I gotta go check on this toilet thing. Talk to you soon. Casey at KGO.
All right, I have arrived. See you soon, Dean.
All right, sounds good, Tim. I should be there fairly soon here. I'm just passing the Red Robin. This is Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray.
W-8-F-U.
Hello, Sean. Glenn here. A-B-8-F-K.
Hey, Leonard, how you doing?
Doing the easy ones twice.
Well, there you go. Just out and about here. Oh, man. Mama wanted a Culver double butter burger. So that's where I went. I had leftovers from yesterday, so I had that. Other than that, just heading home, probably put on some cat videos and call it an evening. What's up your agenda?
Well, we got the dart meet tonight. We're hoping you can join us if you're available. But I don't want to interrupt your CS, so... But it would be appreciated if you could join us.
What time is that?
Before 7 o'clock. It starts formally at 7 o'clock.
All right, so clearly I have not set my clock for daylight savings because it says 7:18, so I'm guessing it's 6:18.
Yes, we're revert back to Eastern Standard Time.
All righty, I should be home and dinner should be over and all that, and I should be able to drop in, so shouldn't be a problem.
Be much appreciated. You're a great resource. If you can check in earlier, Joe usually gets on about a quarter two, and I'm already logged in. I've had some struggles in the times past, so I don't take a chance, and I try to log in early. Before everybody else starts, I have some questions for you if you're available. Otherwise, don't rush, though. I mean, do what you got to do. And whenever you can join us, we will pick your brain and experience. So I'll let you go. Enjoy sounds like you got a good dinner in mind here, so we'll talk to you later. ADHFK.
All right, Len. Yeah, well, just real quick before you go, is this specifically repeater technical, or is this general membership, or what is this one?
This is the DART weekly meeting, and we have bought the Motorola 5700. It should be being shipped here in a week or two, and they're working with Jeff out there. I think you're the one who recommended the. Can't remember the Sandy, is it? Or it's a California Motorola dealer out there. They seem to be very helpful to Joe and the people who are working with him, sir. So I think Joe might have a couple of questions about the setup and operating. Phil's been helpful, too, answering questions and giving us some ideas. So back to you.
Okay, very good. Very good. All right, I just wasn't sure what meeting. I know you guys have like a board meeting, and then you have a general membership meeting, and then some specifically technical. So I just was curious which one it was. All right, I'm just pulling up at home. I'll get inside, and chances are we'll catch you there on the meeting.
Very good. Should be a good night. ADHFK.
W8FU.
How's it going, Cliff?
Hey, what's going on, Tom?
Staying home from the mother-in-law's. Had to fix the filler valve for the commode.
Hey, you get all the fun.
Yeah, I took a look at it a couple weeks ago, and it was just feeling slow. I'm like, I might need a valve for the night. Co-worker of mine says, no, it's probably the filter, you know, the screen inside is probably all gooped up, so tried that, and it worked one time, and then it stopped working again. I'm like, well, I'm not going to mess around with this anymore, so I just went out and bought one, put it in, and now she's all super happy.
Oh, that's good. Glad you got it fixed anyways.
Yeah, it's an old house. It's from 1976.
Oh, that's not that old.
Oh, yeah, no, but she's 82 years old. She's been in this since 2003, and she can't do a lot of things that she used to do. She used to garden a lot. And then my wife's oldest brother lives there, and, you know, he's not very helpful. So I went over there and took care of it. Fixed it, now it works, and they're happy.
Now that's the important part.
You know, my son used to go over there and do some of the work with me, and, well, that relationship has dissolved tremendously, and that's a long story. So I told her, if I had time this week, I'd go over there and luckily, I got done with work early, and I was up in Pontiac, so just shot over there and got the part and fixed it for her.
And that's another good thing, though. At least it was a quick and easy job, too.
Oh, yeah. I just turned off the water. You know, I emptied the tank, turned off the water, drained it, the filler line, and then, of course, when I took it off, you still got water on the bottom of the tank, so put a bucket under there.
emptied it all, and then just put the new one in, tightened it all down. Check, make sure there was no leaks, all hand tightened. You know, for this porcelain, you don't want to crack it or break the plastic. Set it all up, and now it's all ready to rock and roll again like it used to.
Always a good thing. You get that radio installed yet?
No, not yet. My head's been in other places, and it's usually where the sun doesn't shine. You know, I did some radio work on Saturday. Yesterday I was just drained. You know, plus I gotta get the gumption to get in there and figure out which cigarette lighter port I'm gonna use in the truck. But I'll get it in there for her.
Alrighty. I just hope you don't have to wire direct or anything like that. That's a pain in the butt.
Nah. You just put on a connector, and then you strap it to ground somewhere, and then you go in the fuse block, and you plug it in somewhere in the fuse block. Not that bad. That's what I do.
Yeah, I've done a couple in the past. I couldn't get the radios to behave until they were wired straight to the battery. And, you know, like I said, it just, you know, has a bigger pain in the butt than I enjoy.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, I checked the fuse for the cigarette lighter ports, and the fuse is good. I don't see any blown fuses anywhere, but yet they don't work. So, I don't know, I guess it's the trials and tribulations of a GM product. They did work, and then burned one out, and I tried another one, and that one went kaput on me. I'm like, what on earth? So, I don't know. I'll try it again.
Can you check the socket itself? Sometimes those things go out.
Well, my wife said the one, you know, went out in the console. And then there was one in the six, you know, where the ashtray is. And then I used the other one, you know, and so I had to fill up the tires, and I was running the truck and running a 12-volt compressor. And then all of a sudden it just stopped working. So I'm like, did I burn something up? So I don't know if there's an inline fuse or not. I just got to get the gumption and get in there and tear it apart.
Oh, yeah, I hear you on that one. It's never fun taking apart the trim and all that stuff and chasing the wires through a car. I used to build them for a living. We bury that stuff deep.
Yeah, you know, some of the ones are easy. Some of the, you know, hers is an 07, so it shouldn't be too hard. I know where the battery's at. I can do it that way. Or I can find out why the gold darn power port doesn't work. Like my work vein here, I mean, the battery's underneath my derriere, so that was an easy thing to do.
Yeah, I can see that. You beat the heck out of trying to run wires from under the hood or something like that into the car body.
Yeah, I'll figure out a way in there. Just gotta get the time. Because when I get home, I'm just totally drained to working on computers all day. I mean, I worked on radios this past weekend, but they're all HTs that I acquired on Friday, so I'm trying to get those all programmed with GMRS in them. Or Motorola BPR40s, but can't use them for hand because I can't change the frequency, so it's 450 to 470. So that's above the ham bands. You know, they're business band radios, so.
Well, if they go up to 470, you should be able to get them into the GMRS range anyways.
Oh, yeah, they're in the GMRS range. I put MTC-675 and DT-65 in there, so I got the repeater frequencies in there. And then the other six channels are just FRS, you know, like 135 and 7 or something. I forgot what I put in there. I just put easy ones in there because I didn't feel like messing around with complications. But so far, as far as I know, they work. I haven't gone that far. I only did 6 out of the 20 that I have.
20. What do you need with 20 handhelds?
The same reason that 25 VHF handheld, you know, for horse shows or whatever else I choose to use them for.
All right, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that one.
Yeah, I got a whole box of Vertex standard 261s and 260s. And those I programmed for, I forgot what frequency, I think I put mirrors in there. Programmed those and used those, like I said, for horse shows. And that, you know, when we used to go to the fair, everybody had a radio, so we didn't have to use the cell phones because, you know, that the towers get all bogged down with everybody using their phones at the fair. So what's better than a radio that nobody has access to?
Yeah, that makes sense. We run into that issue all the time down at the Ohio Renaissance Festival. There's just not enough cell tower coverage in there. When the place fills up, the tower practically almost shut down. Nobody can use the phone.
Would not know who to call if you wanted, if you needed to borrow some radios.
Well, we're part of the street cast down there. We're not going to be caught carrying radios. They're kind of not period authentic, you know what I mean?
Well, if your cell phones don't work and you got a bunch of family down there, and everybody can get a radio, and then you just talk to them on one of the channels. Where are you at? What are you doing? Okay, over here, over here. You don't got to worry about cell phones.
Oh, yeah, I get it. It all makes perfect sense. It's just, you know, like I said, the lady and I, we work there. And being part of CAS, you know, we're not going to have something like that on us. There's very few people who carry those things. You know, we're not going to be looking to track down our family or anything like that. You know, we're busy walking around entertaining people.
Oh, you actually work the Renaissance Festival. Well, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole heck of a lot of fun. Best part of it is playing with the kids. Kids got no prejudices, they don't judge or anything like that. It's all fun and games to them. They're the best.
Yeah, my friend out in California, she used to participate in that before she got sick. You know, she used to dress up in the medieval garb and everything else. Had her hair up in a bun. And, I mean, how it was back then. And I used to go to the Renaissance Festival when I lived out there. So I got drunk off my beer a year.
Yeah, I see a lot of that, too. And some of those patrons are the ones that are most fun, as long as you know they're not falling over.
Yeah, but I was only 18, and my friends are all over 21, so I go hide, and they'll get me a famous stout. And I just, like, walk around with that and slam it, put it in a different cup so nobody knew. And by the time I got done, I was 3 sheets and I went and then some.
Did you make it home alive at least? Well, I guess you did. I'm talking to you.
Oh, well, yeah, but I mean, that was back like, when I was 18, so that's, you know, 30-some-odd years ago. That was back in, like, 87, 88. Oh, I used to, back then, you know, me and my buddies used to go over to his apartment, you know, and kick back, and we'd clean rifles and guns and everything else like that, and watch TV, and go to the valley to go, you know, fire off some rounds, and a couple deputies go with us. It was a lot of fun. So the Renaissance Festival, that's my first experience, beer bongs, and oh, yeah, I got plastered. And, of course, they drove me home, and I slept it off the next day.
That is the one thing we don't get to do working at a fair, is get drunk. We can't even drink. We get to act like we are, but we can't actually do it.
Well, same here. Plus the medication I'm on doesn't agree with hops. By any means, I tried in a way, and it just upset my stomach. So I'm like, nope, I can't do this. So that part of my life is in the past, and that's where I'd like to leave it.
walked away from it a bunch of years ago, too. That's a young man's game. I'm getting too old and banged up to be able to punish myself like that anymore.
Exactly. My body's too beat up already. And then, you know, putting, you know, adult pops in my system just doesn't work anymore. But, alas, I am finally in my humble abode up here in the northeast quadrant.
Alright, copy that. I'm still out here door dashing. Anything but nothing but garbage orders all night. People want to pay only $3 for me to go 10 miles one way. I'm just like, yeah, that'll happen.
Well, I'll be on the road tomorrow, so all you're going to do is listen for me. I'm either going to be on P25, EMR, or right here on FBI. But you know me, I'll be out and about. I'll say 73 on your final, and stay safe out there.
As always, and 73 to you too, and I hope you have a good rest of your evening. KFA-TPZ, they're in monitoring.
Have a good night, Cliff. 73, KCKJL, clear and out.
W8FU, Sean, would you happen to be around in the shack? W8ONC calling.
My XYL says somebody called me. W8FU.
Oh, is that you, Sean? W8FU, W8OMC. Let me beat this for a second. Is that you, Sean?
I'm wearing his underwear.
Okay, very good. Yeah, and only his underwear? That's okay. Hey, we don't care. Talking on the radio and your underwear or whatever is perfectly okay. The last time I talked to you, I don't know, it's been a while. And you said you were not feeling very well and taking a couple of days off of work. I was just happened to be on here, and I just wanted to see if anybody was on the Howell repeater. We have a little net called, it's not a really a net, so anyways, I missed that. It ended about 9 o'clock, and I just thought I'd stop by here and see how you've been doing, how you're feeling, and if the work of it and things are going okay, and just to check up on you. Over.
Yeah, doing well. Just staying busy. Work's been, it's had me off the radio. I've just been busy with stuff during the day. I've been out driving a lot, you know, and I get on a little bit in the evening. Usually I got the radio on, but I'm usually not in the same room with it, so thus it comes to my attention. But so I haven't been on the radio even a whole lot recently. A couple of folks have commented about that, but enjoying everything, kind of winding down here, looking at maybe retiring within the year, but I don't know. I like what I do too much.
Yeah, well, that's what they say, the secret to if you love what you're doing, you're not really working, so... And even though you really are, so that's great. That's great. I'm glad you found, and I think you're in more or less business for yourself, So, but having to be around town and stuff like that. So, well, at least you get out, and just the only problem with that is the danger of the roads. So, but coming up here on wintertime, well, pretty soon. Although I said our winters have been quite mild compared to what they were, you know, 30, 40 years ago. Because I used to live just about a mile south of you. And there are Madison Heights just on the other side of, because you were in Macomb and I was in Madison Heights. So I've said this, it seems like our winters are going to be more like southern Ohio. So at least for the last 3 to 5 years they have been. Nothing like 30, 40 years ago. Well, okay, very good. I hope you're taking a little time off now that you stopped, well, for the day, at least enjoying the evening and so forth, and maybe getting on some HF and stuff like that. I've been getting on the 3850 here for the last week or 10 days or so, just throwing a comment here and there, listening to the guys on 3850. One guy's in Ohio, WS8N, is that what it's called? Yeah, and a couple other fellows in Michigan and so forth. So, well, okay, very good. Glad to meet you. Feeling better since the last time I took you to talk. You've probably been a month, and I can't believe how time is flying by. It's just ridiculous. So, and you're looking at maybe possible retiring. So hopefully you got a nice nest egg there and enjoying your house. I'm not sure, but I think your street is still dirt. But I'm not sure. Maybe they paved it here in the last 10 years. Because I moved out about 6 years ago. So, anyways, got into trouble there and lost the house and stuff like that. So, but okay. Anyways, just like I said, just stop by just to chat and see how you're doing. So have a great evening, the rest of it, and us the rest of the week, since this is only Monday. Hope you had a safe, happy Halloween. I don't know if they had any trick-or-treaters, but and a good Thanksgiving coming up. So happy rest of the year if I don't hear from you, which is likely. Anyways, back to you, Sean, for a final. I always want to say Sean, not Sean. So I know it's like Sean Connery, and some other people just get so I'd like to make sure I get that right. Anyways, like I said, hey, enjoy the rest of the evening and the week and so forth. So thanks for coming back to me. Back to you for a final. Here's W8OMC. By the way, it's Ken here, Kilo Echo November.
Something happened, you know, Warren machine dropped, pitching over in the Mount Clemens now. So I tuned in just as you were phonetically giving the name. I know, Ken, not a problem here, but I was just going to ask, I thought you were, you know, you would always go in through, was it SOB's link, and you would get on the nuts? For some reason, are you out that way, or now, or are you just remoting through him out that way?
I haven't remoted from SOB's station out in Port Huron. I'm over here in Farmington, way over. So, I contributed to his station of $125, and I just kind of, I don't know, he was off there for a while. He had some radio problems, and his sent to send his 7610 in for service, and just kind of drifted away. So I'm using either W8RJ Rogers over here in South Lyon or Debbie's and Tony's out in New Buffalo, Michigan, on the other side of Michigan there, West Michigan. NADAF Debbie and KA8UGB Tony. So, using their three remotes. So, Anyways, like I said, yes, I was using SOBs about a year ago, and that kind of, I don't know, he doesn't seem to turn it on that much anymore. So, yeah, so that's the story there, John.
Okay, no, I knew you were coming into the net to that for at least a while back. I haven't been on the on any of those nets. I was on the CRS net, I think, in particular, where I would hear you sometimes. And I was getting on that during COVID when I was working from home most of the time, so I'd get on there. But I haven't fired much up radio-wise at all lately. I generally keep this on, and that's about the only thing I'm sure of. A couple, a few I circle through every now and again, but just radio's been low priority. Although I did get some work done this weekend after quite a while of waiting. I had a enthusiastic crew looking to get some stuff going, APRS, Winlink, and so it was a lot of fun to get together and get some stuff done. All right, Ken, I'm going to get out of here and get back to my TV. I only got a little bit here, and I like to be in bed before 11. Because I'm a lightweight at before. Oh, dear. So we'll catch you. Thanks for stopping by. I'm going to get OMC from WAFU.
Yeah, okay, very good, Sean. Yeah, of course, this is, I'm on Echolink through KFBI, which, by the way, thanks for reviving the Flying Bears International call sign. So, I love that one. Anyways, okay, very good. Have a great rest of the evening, and it's already, I'm almost 9:40. So, okay, just like I said, so I stop by and see how you're doing. So, glad to hear you weren't feeling there good for a little bit, and now you're back to make hay while the sun shines. So, okay, take care. Have a good rest of the week from WA to MC. Listening out.